The birth of heaven happens when we are able to show the face of God in this world. The birth of heaven happens when we are able to show the face of God in this world. Without preparations, we will not be able to discern the face of God within us. The life of Zechariah, Elizabeth, Mary, and Joseph helps us for that. All of these people tells us on these days, prepare the way. Prepare yourselves to celebrate the birth of Christ and to be rejuvenated in the peace and in the joy. The gospel portion for today's meditation is St. Luke chapter 1 verses 57 to 66, which we have already heard during the Evangelion. I just like to read the verse 60. His mother said, "No, he is to be called John." No, he is to be called John. The passage talks about the birth of John the Baptist. As we have meditated last week upon the portion about his birth being foretold, let us think about the return of the couple from the unbelief. So the title which I would like to give for today's meditation is Return from Unbelief. When we read verse 57 and 58, we see like this. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown his great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. So the first point which I would like to mention here is mercy has to be expected at the full time, not before. Mercies are to be expected at the full time, not before. Though he was conceived in the womb through a miracle, he continued in the womb according to the ordinary course of nature. Elizabeth's full time came, and then she brought forth a son. It was the fulfillment of God's promise. In Luke chapter 1 verse 13 and also in verse 19 we read like this. Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John. In verse 18, the angel replied, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and bring you this good news. They acknowledged that the Lord had manifested his mercy to her. It was a mercy which her blame was taken away, mercy that her family was built up. Many events caused the mercy to be felt as great, that she had been long barren, now old, and particularly that the child should be great in the sight of the Lord. That is what we read in verse 15, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He must never drink wine or strong drink. Even before his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. The mercies have to be celebrated. Here we see that the neighbors and the relatives rejoiced with her. The particular place, Hebron, where they stayed was inhabited by the priests of the family of Aaron. They were the relatives. The neighbors were the children of Judah. In verse 65, we read, things were talked about throughout the entire hill country of Judea. Similar other instances we read in the Old Testament and New Testament regarding God's mercy. For example, in the life of Sarah, life of Hagar, life of Hannah, and the story of lost son, lost coin, and lost sheep in the New Testament reminds us to rejoice in the mercy of God. Regarding our life, Jesus says that your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but strive first for the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. That we read in Matthew chapter 6, verses 32 and 33. So the portion tells us mercies are to be expected at the full time, not before. Secondly, I would like to read the verse 59 and 60. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him Zechariah after his father. But his mother said, no, he is to be called John. This verse points out that recognize the covenant relation of children with God. Recognize the covenant relation of children with God. On the eighth day, as God has appointed, they came together to circumcise the child. It was here in Hebron that circumcision was first instituted. Isaac, like John the Baptist, was born by a promise. He was among the first people who were submitted to circumcision. They rejoiced in the birth of the child, circumcised him on the eighth day as a symbol of setting him apart, God's possession. Now it was a custom when they circumcised their children to also name them. When Abraham was circumcised, God gave him a new name and called him Abraham. In today's portion, we see that they went to name the child after his father as Zechariah, as part of the custom in honor of the father, similar to the tradition of surname. But both Zechariah and Elizabeth knew the name of the child had to be John. According to the command from the angel, which we have already seen in verse 13, they treated Zechariah as if he were deaf, not mute. This must have been constantly inconvenient to Zechariah. Zechariah, however, responded in complete faith. His name is John. For Zechariah, this was recognition of a fact, not a suggestion. Even though he had failed before, God gave Zechariah an opportunity to affirm his faith. He gives the same as today. This was a return from the point of unbelief. We all are baptized people, and we bring our children to be baptized. During the baptismal service, the priest named the child three times. When we read our liturgy, baptismal liturgy, if you have this book, you can look at the page 84, where the first time the priest named the child, there we see so-and-so is sealed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. First time the child is named and sealed in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Second time we see in page 86 where the priest anoint the child with scythe. There priest say, has a token of being born anew, a child of God. So and so is sealed with the holy oil in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. There, this is the second time priest saying, this person, we are dedicating this person to God as a mark of rebirth, being born anew as a child of God. Again, at the time of baptism, that we can see in page 89, the priest says, this person is baptized in the hope of the remission of sins and eternal life in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Baptist, at the time of the baptism, when the priest pour the water on the head of this child, he says, this is for the hope of remission of sins and eternal life. That is why we believe that when the child has been taken from the baptismal font, what it represents or what it symbolizes, the child has died and buried with Christ and resurrected and living in this world with Christ. Hannah, when we see, she brings Samuel to temple and dedicate Samuel in the presence of God. Whenever we bring our children for baptism, are we thinking the covenant relation of our child with God? Also, when we bring our children for baptism, trusting in the same mercy of God to save and accept the child and not because of our merit or works. Thirdly, I would like to read verse 64 and 65. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue freed, and he began to speak, praising God. Fear came over all their neighbors, and all these things were talked about throughout the entire hill country of Judea. The third point is return from the unbelief to praise God. Return from the unbelief to praise God. Immediately his mouth was opened, just as Gabriel said. Zechariah could speak again. He spoke, praise God. That was his first statement. It was fitting that Zechariah's first words were praise to God. His punishment for disobedience had not made him bitter. Instead, it made him want to trust God all the more at every opportunity. In Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 26 and 27, we read how God is with the mouth of Ezekiel. Also, when God sent Moses to Egypt, he says, I will be with your mouth. Here, Zechariah was struck dumb. However, through obedience and renewed faith expressed during the circumcision of his child, the danger is removed and he could speak again. Faithlessness closed his mouth, and now faith opened it again. He believes, therefore he speaks words of faith. If we truly believe, we will also speak words of faith in every situation and not words of faithlessness and despair. David lay under guilt from the conception of his child Solomon till a few days after the birth. Then the Lord takes away his sin when he repents and says that he shall not die. Similarly here, the promise was that he shall no longer be dumb. His mouth was opened and he spoke and praised God. When God opens our lips, our mouths must praise him. We must remember that we are able to speak because God has graciously allowed us to. So we must use our voices to always reaffirm our faith and to praise God. Even when we come for worship on all Sundays, we must use the opportunity to open our mouths to praise God and say the responses of faith and praise after the priest, instead of wondering when the worship service will be over and what we can do after the service. So let us use the voice. We have to praise God and to reaffirm our faith always. Dearly beloved, the Bible portion tells us mercies are to be expected at the full time, not before. We have to dedicate ourselves. We have to wait for the time of the Lord. And we have to rejoice in the mercies of God. And also we have to recognize the covenant relation of children with God. When God has blessed us with generations, we have to dedicate our children and we have to be obedient in the sight of the Lord. And also, this portion points out return from unbelief to praise God. Return from unbelief to praise God, which is needed in this today's world and especially in our own personal lives. May this Christmas season be a blessed one to all of us. Manuel Thomas will lead us in prayer.